It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Do you ever feel stuck on a hamster wheel, constantly running but getting nowhere? The secret is actually quite simple. When you fall in love with yourself, everything else falls into place, personally and professionally. It's time to get unstuck, reclaim your personal power, and recapture your zest for living. Now, here's your host, Deborah Jane Wells.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening. This is Deborah Jane Wells. Thanks for tuning in to our show. Today's theme is Secrets from the Relationship Whisperer, 5 Ways to Know You're Making Progress. Through my writing, speaking, singing, radio show, and signature coaching programs, I help individuals and organizations learn to harness the transformative power of love to get unstuck and step into their greatness. When you choose to stop living as a victim of circumstance and fear-based limiting beliefs, and instead embrace the transformative power of loving yourself unconditionally, your experience shifts from breakdown to breakthrough. Choosing to fuel yourself with constructive core energy based in love, respect, curiosity, compassion, and gratitude produces a life of generous, effortless, gracious flow filled with faith, hope, prosperity, peace, and joy. Choosing love as your core energy changes everything. Your perceptions, opportunities, relationships, and priorities. When love transforms your relationship with yourself, it can't help but transform your personal life, your work, and the world. This week, I'm pleased to welcome my guest, Tracy Crossley. Tracy wears many hats: writer for hire, intuitive coach, curiosity quencher, artist, poet, marketing maven, rugula royale, social media savant, entrepreneur extraordinaire, public speaker, clairvoyant, trusted friend, confidant, and mom to grown-ups. Her abilities have been honed as much by adversity as achievement. After losing her job 9 times in 10 years, she woke up to her calling as an intuitive coach. When Tracy began respecting her ability to help others achieve their dreams, she started experiencing the career fulfillment she longed for. Known as the Relationship Whisperer, she infuses each new day with passion through coaching, writing, and speaking, sharing with others the secrets to creating a great life filled with meaningful relationships. Her newest creation, Your Pocket Psychic, at www.yourpocketpsychic.com, is a unique business inspired by client requests. To learn more about Tracy, browse her social media sites and visit her website at tracycrossley.com. Welcome, Tracy.
Thank you, Deborah, for having me here today.
It's great to have you. Tracy's own life is an inspiring example of the transformation that's possible when you shift from fueling yourself with fear to fueling yourself with unconditional self-love. So, Tracy, how has choosing love rather than fear helped you create a life you love?
I can't say that I have specifically had a victim-to-victor story, but I have definitely gone through some very difficult times in my life. And a lot of coming out of it and actually changing my life came from changing my perception. At one point, I was being evicted from my place that I was living in, and this had come about from, I would say, not not seeing things clearly and really listening to the fear inside that I wasn't good enough or I didn't deserve to be doing what I was doing for a living. And I literally had about $3 in my pocket, and I was trying to shift out of this whole mindset at the time. And I thought, okay, I'm going to go out and I'm going to look for a place to live. I have no money. I have no way of knowing how I'm going to make this happen. But I just knew that I had to go out looking, and I had to keep trying to maintain the love I had for myself, the love that I had for life, and not let the fear get to me. Although I will say the fear was there too. So I went out looking, and I believed that somebody would rent to me who wouldn't look at my bank account and who wouldn't look at my credit and who would just like me or feel comfortable and want me to move into their place that they were renting. And sure enough, that's what ended up happening. And it was funny because the whole time I was not attached to an outcome. And that's what I found through understanding that having faith in yourself and faith in the universe and a love for myself, that I was going to manifest what I wanted, because of course, why wouldn't I get what I wanted? So in that, it also helped me to shift in other ways. Another way that I had to shift was I had been brought up to be told that I was just like my dad. I was always told I was like my dad in every which way. And I maintained that for years. I, in business, was very much like a male. In my relationships, I was very male-like. In fact, I had men from all walks of life ask me how I couldn't have been, you know, could have been born a woman because I was so male. And I really didn't understand it for the longest time. And I was very proud of it until I realized that I wasn't being me. I was being somebody else, and I had to check in to figure out who I was. What I was doing, was I creating a life that I loved? And was I being a person that I loved? And so, as I like to say, I stepped out of male energy and slipped in to female energy, meaning slipped like you put a nice, soft, silky slip on. Mm-hmm. That's how I feel about going into female energy. And I would assume, Deborah, you know what I'm talking about because you worked in the corporate world and you've probably gone through your own shifts with your femininity.
Well, and yes, and the key here is not that either male or female energy are good or bad, or in fact that they have to align with gender, that we all carry male and female energy, and they both have they bring us great gifts and great blessings and great strengths, and they are different. They bring us different blessings and gifts and strengths. The question is, do you feel you're living your authentic? Are you being authentic? Are you being who you believe you are? And also, do you have a sense of not rejecting either energy, but knowing how and when you can bring them into play and how to have them live inside you in harmony and balance? I totally get, I too have had, I've got a lot of what people identify as male energy, that analytical driven sort of energy, but I also have this huge spirituality component and a lot of things that would be associated with female energy. And so over time, part of what I also learned to do was how to embrace both and bring them into balance. One of the things that you mentioned, actually you mentioned two other things that really resonated for me. One is the whole idea that perception is reality. You know, I say all the time, I write about it in my book, Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life, that there is no absolute reality. There's only my story about what's going on right now that's fully formed by my personal experience, my lenses, my culture, my family I was of origin that I was raised in, my country, my, you know, religion, etc., and my own life experience and what I've told myself it means, and my own beliefs and expectations about what can happen in the future. And so perception is fully based on, you know, that reality that I create is going to be fully based on what I expect to have happen. It's not voodoo hoodoo. It's that, like, it's like wearing glasses. If I put the wrong prescription on you in a set of eyeglasses, you're not going to be able to see clearly. And if I put different prescriptions on with different colored lenses, you're going to see reality a different way than someone else does who doesn't have that lens. So I really resonate to that. And that means that if you can open and widen your perception and change it, you can change your reality. That's the choose your energy, change your life aspect. The other is that people often find hard to grasp is how is it you can fully engage in the process but still detach from a specific outcome? And that's, you know, people think when I say, oh, I'm following my energy, I'm letting that percolate, that I'm being lazy or I'm procrastinating. And there's a huge difference between productive percolation, which is fueled by love and faith and a belief that it's all going to unfold, and procrastination, which is fear-based. And so I love that you mentioned that, because fully engaging in the process of looking for that home without getting really attached to exactly what it had to look like is part of, I believe, what allowed it to unfold for you perfectly.
I agree. And the other thing is, when it comes to relationships, and this is where I work with people, most people believe it's their partner or there's something wrong with the situation, that they believe that they're doing everything they can and they don't want to take any more responsibility than that. And what they don't understand is that the same thing applies to a relationship. You can't attach to an outcome when you're dealing with another human being. So the more you love yourself and you do things in that space that support that perception of self-love and that love is all around you, you actually start to create that in your relationship without having to try and change the other person. The other person is either going to want to go along for the ride or they're not. But the thing is, when your relationship improves, it's because you're more than likely being authentic and loving yourself and doing things to support that rather than trying to manipulate an outcome with your partner or to get your way.
Well, and my belief from experience is that 95% of what people do has nothing to do with me. Absolutely nothing. Remember with the conversation we just had about perceptions and reality and the lenses we all carry. Well, we're all carrying our own stuff. And so it makes complete sense to me that 95% of what people are doing is all about their own experience. It's all about their own perceptions and filters and lenses that they're carrying. And by the way, the same's true for me. So when I'm trying to blame everything on everybody else or my situation, you know, I can do that if I want, but I'm totally disempowering myself, because the reality is I'm in charge. I'm the decider in my life.
Yes. And that is what I work with people on. I think that our work is probably very similar in terms of the empowerment we give to people, because actually I don't give it to people. I give them the tools that help them to be able to see clearly what it is that they're doing to not create what they want in their reality, especially in their relationships. A lot of times people have a picture of what they believe a relationship should look like, and unfortunately, that's nothing to do with the reality of who they are and how they're actually operating. A lot of times people can't actually figure out, how is my relationship improving, if it's improving incrementally because they have shifted their perception. Like, a lot of times people come in and they think, okay, I'm going to work on my relationship. Well, as I said, the work starts with themselves. And so there is a space that people don't really start to see improvement until they actually look back or until they actually look at their actions and they see, wow, as I'm loving myself, I'm feeling less of a need to do things to either provoke my partner or to make my partner do things for me that ensure that I'm loved, because I'm loving me. So what I found is I had actually come up with a reference list at one point where it shows those small shifts that you can check into yourself and you can see, wow, you know, I am shifting my perception to one that is more loving, because to me, what I know is that that's why we're all here, is love. And they're actually practicing what they want it to be like in a relationship or in their life, period. So that's something that I would, you know, I always bring up to people. Well, you know, are you doing this? Are you doing that? And they say, yeah, I am. I never used to do that. And it's almost like a light bulb went off and they go, oh my gosh, you know, I actually am doing these things, and these are healthy, and these things do feel good. So,
well, and we have about 2 minutes before we take our first break. And in the second and third segments of our show, we're going to talk at great length and detail about Tracy's 5 top indicators that you're making progress. In the final 2 minutes before we take our break, I want to reinforce something that I've talked about before, that what Tracy's saying brings to mind for me. People, you know, we have a habit, when we're fueled by fear, we interfere in other people's lives. So when someone we love is in pain, it can be hard for us not to be in pain. And so we'll start to stick our nose in their business and start to interfere in their lives. And people will say to me, well, you know, what's the difference between making helpful suggestions and disrespectful interference? And I say, well, it's all about the fuel, and it's all about how it feels when it's going on. So if you're fueling yourself with love, then you're going to make suggestions. And in the way we just talked about, you're going to make your suggestion, and you are going to be totally detached from the outcome. You're going to have absolutely no energetic charge over, does the person adopt it? How quickly do they adopt it? How well do they adopt it? And, you know, and what happens with it? You're just going to put it out there and totally detach and respect the person enough to walk their own journey. When you find yourself too connected to whether they do it, when they do it, how well they do it, etc., then the odds are pretty good that you're fueled by fear. And your fear could show up in, there are four sort of very common forms for that fear to be. One is the first thing I mentioned. I love you. I hate to see you be in pain. When you're in pain, I've told myself I have to be in pain too. I want my pain to stop. So I want your pain to stop so I can feel better. So that's the pure anxiety one. The second one's self-doubt, which is, I've made certain choices for my life. If everyone doesn't make those choices for my life, I don't have the ego strength to say, well, you know, we're all individuals. So if you don't choose what I choose, I start to wonder whether I'm wrong. So that's self-doubt. The third one is avoidance, where, and I love this one, where there's like some really significant stuff that bears attention in my life, but I'm not really ready to deal with that. So I'm going to distract myself with fixing your life, maybe even in the very ways that my own life needs, quote, fixing at the moment. So that's the avoidance one. And then finally, there's pure and simple arrogance. And it is absolutely arrogant for me to think, having not walked 1 mile in your shoes, that I know how to run your life better than you do. And listeners, at that point, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in 2 minutes with more.
Find out what makes the most successful people tick. Keep listening to the Voice America Empowerment Channel. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Inspired by today's show? Visit Deborah at DJWLifeCoach.com and click on the Current Offers tab to access her proven life coaching programs and tools. Everything from her signature workbooks and videos to entertaining and inspiring blogs and newsletters. You'll even have the opportunity to sign up for a 60-minute complimentary coaching session. If someone offered you a precious gift for an hour of your time, would you be interested? That's what Deborah offers in a comp session. It isn't a brief demo or sample. It's a full 45-minute coaching session focused on your current real-life challenges, plus 15 minutes to discuss any questions you may have about her approach. Those who've experienced Deborah's comp sessions will tell you that when you show up fully committed to your own growth and open to the possibilities for transformation, big breakthroughs happen. What have you got to lose other than your fears and limiting beliefs? Visit the Current Offers tab on DJWLifeCoach.com. Choose your energy and change your life.
Friend us on Facebook to keep up with what's empowering the world. Voice America Empowerment.
You are listening to Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life with Deborah Jane Wells. If you have a question or comment for the program today, please call us toll-free at 888-346-9141. That's 888-346-9141. Or you may send an email to Deborah at DJWLifeCoach.com. Now, back to Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life.
Hi, everyone. This is Deborah again. Welcome back to our show with my guest, Tracy Crossley. In the previous segment, we discussed how choosing to fuel ourselves with fear-based core energy limits our lives, and how choosing to fuel ourselves with love creates a life of generous, effortless, gracious flow instead. In this second segment, Tracy and I will begin examining 5 simple indicators that you are making progress on your journey to relationship wholeness. So, Tracy, how do we get started? What should we look for?
Well, what I'm talking about with making progress on your journey is that you've already set out and you've started the journey inwards and you're looking at yourself, and at the same time, you're embracing yourself. You're embracing all your light and your dark, and you're realizing that you're okay. So you're shifting into a much happier, loving, authentic position. And there are certain indicators, and these are small indicators, but they're things that you can notice about yourself when you're operating within a relationship. So one thing, and this is totally about being in 2013, but one thing is text messages, emails, any sort of written communication that you would have in the past felt so compelled to send to your mate because you needed to make a point, you needed to hide behind the words. You know, there's something about that for most people.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
You were going to say something.
No, I'm just laughing along with you.
So here's the thing. What you find is you've lost that inclination. You may start to type it out because you have something you want to say, and then mid-sentence, or maybe you type the whole thing out and you look at it and you think, why am I going to send this? I don't need to say this. And if I need to say anything, I need to speak it. And I need to communicate it in a way which engenders conversation rather than me telling somebody something or telling my mate something that is only going to serve to try and get them to do what I want them to do. And that's normally what people do when they hide behind written communication like that. So you might want to, or you might find yourself changing your words to something like, I love you, I'm happy, I hope you have an amazing day. That is a huge indicator. And you can pat yourself on the back for that one because that's huge. Most of us, when we're caught up in an emotion or we have some anxiety about something, we want to do something about it. We want to react. And actually, by writing something, it's a reaction to a feeling we're having. So that is one thing you will notice. Another thing is you are going to, and this is in the Four Agreements, and I think it's probably in several other books and several other thoughts, and that is personalizing somebody else's moods, words, and actions. That is something that also starts to become part of your past. And it doesn't happen all the time. There's still going to be times where you're starting to take something personally because there's still probably a belief circling around within you that tells you that what they're saying must be true about you. And so you start to take it personally. That's the only reason we ever take things personally. It's a belief we have about ourselves, and then somebody's saying something to us, and we're thinking, oh my gosh, what they're saying is true. I must battle it, or what they're saying is so untrue. And really what it is it's a button that they pushed within you. Well, as you start to come to this place with yourself of loving yourself, you think, okay, they feel this way, just like I feel a certain way. They are feeling this in the moment, and maybe in the next moment they'll feel something different, or they're just expressing themselves. But the thing is, you learn it's not about you, it's really about them. So we can be compassionate and loving because in reality, it's what we're learning to do with ourselves. Another
Can I jump
for
a minute? Because
I
love that one.
Yes.
So this is very complex. And one of the things about it that I love is that it's not about denial. It's not about ignoring what your partner is saying. It's not about ignoring what you're feeling or suppressing it or distracting or any of that. It's about really embracing all of it and being fully present with it without any rejection. So that means embracing the fact that your partner may be livid as they tell you what they're telling you and they're absolutely convinced you're the problem. Mm-hmm. Being fully present with and embracing of any fear-based emotion that comes up, pain, sense of rejection, anger, how dare he, you know, whatever it is, be fully present with your own emotion. What I find the most important thing for me to do to be able to be in this place that you talk about is to fully embrace my reaction to it and be there with myself. So I will take my hand and pat, you know, like pat my shoulder, pat my chest and say, there, there, little one, I know. Wow, this feels hurtful, doesn't it? Isn't that interesting that this feels so hurtful? And just really be fully present with myself and spend some time understanding my own reaction to it. Because if I didn't have any, if I didn't place any value in what this person's saying, I would have no reaction to it. So understanding what that reaction's about. And oh, by the way, our reactions to things, in the same way that we're all carrying this baggage and these filters and these perceptions from the past, it may very well be that sometimes your partner says something that's completely innocent. It's not meant to be energetically charged. And it resonates back to a facial expression your father used to make, or a word, a label your mother used to use, or something that, you know, someone you had trouble with as a child used to say. And so the degree of your reaction you start to realize isn't really even about what's going on in this moment, in this relationship. It's old, I call them karmic crumbs that you haven't totally swept out. So being fully present with all of it, and then being able to take responsibility and say, you know what, this part is his to walk with or hers to walk with, and this part is mine. And whether it's healing work to be done, or, oh, by the way, sometimes people are messengers. Sometimes they are able to point out opportunities for further growth in our lives. But coming to it from this place of healthy, love-based, unconditional love-based ego strength rather than narcissistic egomania or insecurity, it makes all the difference in the world.
Yes, it does. And the thing is that we always have insecurities. We're human beings. We are flawed, and we are never going to be perfect. And therefore, as much as you find yourself doing this journey inwards, as you've mentioned, Deborah, there are still things that are going to come up for us. And to sit with the emotion and to sit with the feeling that does come is huge, because most people want to run from that feeling. And that's why you can use this as an indicator when you don't run from yourself anymore, when you aren't personalizing what someone's saying and you can objectively hear them. And that if you're not objectively hearing them and it is hitting that button, you still don't run. You still stay there. That actually shows that your confidence in yourself has grown and that you have love for yourself, because you're saying it's okay for me to have these feelings. It doesn't mean that they are who I am. They're just what's going on right now. So that is something that is so huge. And I know in my own relationships that I don't personalize people as much. And I'm not just talking in an intimate relationship. I'm talking in most relationships. Obviously, the farther distance you have with somebody, like if they're an acquaintance, it's not going to have as much impact as somebody who's intimately close to you. But again, it's something that you can use as a barometer with how you're speaking, as I said before, with written communication, but also in how you're perceiving what's being said.
Well, and you mentioned that it's harder with, you know, it's more likely to come up with people that we have deeper, more intimate relationships with. And yet every now and then, that is true. I believe that. That's more common with them. Every now and then, haven't you encountered a total stranger who had a really casual interaction with and they really irritated the heck out of you? And
well,
you
yes.
took it personally.
You know, that would be called road rage.
It's all about me. It's amazing. And that they're one of those times, by the way, when a total stranger or someone I barely know who has a kind of very passing role in my life can elicit a really strong emotional reaction. And oh, by the way, that means whether it's joy, you know, happiness, what we call good emotions, you know, the ones we enjoy, or it's anger, sadness, frustration, you know, confusion, depression, whatever. That when someone who I hardly know can elicit a really strong reaction, it's a great indicator to me that there's a whole lot more going on in that moment and that we probably are tapping into something that's old for me.
Right. Well, it's usually the more extreme your reaction is to something, it's old. That right there tells
yeah.
you, oh, old stuff.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So, and I will go with the third one. And this one is, I would say, a major one, especially for a lot of women. What we do is we forget the needle and thread, meaning we stop fixing. We stop ourselves in the middle of a thought about how we can help our esteemed mate with a problem that they happen to be having. We stop trying to fix this person in the hope that if we do, we'll have what we want. Instead, we wait to see, or we don't even wait, but if somebody asks us for advice or information, then we share it. But we don't direct it at them with that laser beam focus of, oh, good, I have my chance. I'm going to get them to do what I want, and then they're going to be fixed, and this relationship's going to be great, and it's going to be that picture I have in my head. Instead, what we've learned is we've learned some self-acceptance. And when we've learned self-acceptance, we start to accept our partner. We accept other people just as they are. And it may come in bits and pieces. It's not like overnight, all of a sudden you've accepted every little thing about yourself. But the more you do accept about yourself, the less inclined you are to want to fix your partner, the less inclined you're going to be to tear something to shreds that you don't need to. You will notice that your partner also is changing because you're not trying to fix them all the time. They're suddenly free to be who they are. And who they may be may actually suit you much more than what you think. So I always like to say, yep, forget the needle and thread. You're not patching somebody back together. You're not doing them any favors when you're trying to fix them.
Well, and you can't. I am such a firm believer that I can look like I'm demonstrating love for you, but if I don't have unconditional love for myself, it's just a cheap act. It's not, I don't mean that I know I'm being false. I mean, I don't think people do. I think they think they're being genuine. But until I really understood all the ways in which I was not loving myself and started to work on those, and they were legion, honey. I mean, I was 80 pounds heavier than you would see. I was morbidly obese. I was clinically depressed for 10 years. And yet I had this amazing career where I had been, you know, a senior partner in four of the world's largest professional services firms and traveled all over the world and made a boatload of money. And it's like, how could she be this miserable? And the answer was that my soul and role were so disconnected that I didn't even know who I was anymore. But once I started to get a grip on that, then the universe raised the bar and sent me relationships to see if I could apply it in my relationships. And boy, is that the refiner's fire. You know, that's the place where I really, all that stuff that I was getting kind of good at applying to my own life, I found then that I needed to be able to translate it into my relationships. And the interesting thing for me was, is that once I started to translate it into my relationships and show up there that way, I got even better at doing it for myself. So it was this sort of biofeedback loop that just made everybody's life better.
Right. And it does, because the thing is, nobody needs to be fixed. Everybody is who they are. You are who you are. You are always going to have things that are what you want to classify as problems or things that you want to improve. And really, we are fine the way we are. Even if you are 80 pounds overweight, it's learning to love yourself at 80 pounds overweight. And then that's when you can make those true shifts, because it stops being a battle within you. It stops being an issue within you to change or fix yourself. It just starts to happen because you naturally gravitate towards what feels better for you. And therefore, you allow the person in the relationship to also do that, because you're accepting that they're where they're at. And no matter where they're at, it works for them. Right now, in this moment, whether they're struggling, not struggling, it's what's working for them. If they're engaged in struggle, that's where they want to be. Maybe they have something to learn that you don't have to learn. But the point is, when you're getting to this healthy space, that's what you're finding. You're finding that you no longer have the urge or desire to fix them.
Yeah. And instead, you have compassion and respect. You know, I talk all the time. When I got this whole insight around love and fear as the two core fuels, and with love, it's such a word that's misused. I really went seeking. I had a lot of fun with a thesaurus and paying attention to my experience. And it's when I came up with, it wasn't just love. It was love, respect, curiosity, compassion, and gratitude. And when I have respect for myself, which is one of the faces of love, and respect for you, I behave in certain ways. When I have curiosity, that neutralizes the judging voice in my head right away. And instead of thinking you know exactly what's going on, you know, you talked earlier about the getting angry and writing, you know, blistering emails. Yes, I have done a few of those in my time, personally and professionally, I must say. And the interesting thing is that when you can engage curiosity, when you can engage compassion for your experience, and you embrace that you're having that feeling, you don't reject the feeling. But when you can engage curiosity, you can say to yourself, well, why am I feeling what I'm feeling? Well, you know, because he did such and such. And then you can say, well, what if I'm mistaken? What are three other interpretations for what just happened here? And what if this really is all about my own response? Then how can I put the power back in my hands and be curious, not judgmental, about either myself or my partner?
Right. Right. Absolutely.
So we have about 2 minutes. Just wrap up these first three, because we're going to have another 16 minutes to talk about the final two. Just sort of tie these first three all together for us.
Well, basically, what the first three are indicating is what we've been discussing, which is as you grow in your self-acceptance and your self-love, your relationship actually will shift and change. And to be able to see yourself doing the three things where you're not sending out those blistering emails and text messages, and yes, Deborah, like you, I've done it personally and professionally, and personalizing somebody else and their moods and their tood, and trying to, not even trying, but finding that you have no desire to fix somebody is huge. And that's the thing with all three of these, is that you've lost the desire to do those things. No matter what you're going through emotionally, you're no longer putting it on the other person and blaming them. You've taken back your power, because every time you blame somebody for something outside of you or how you're feeling, you're basically saying, I'm a victim, I have no power, I can't do anything about this situation. It's all about them. It's their fault, it's what they've done, blah, blah, blah. And the problem is, oh, go ahead, did you want to say something?
You wrap it up, because then we're going to take a quick break.
Okay. So the thing is, when you are practicing at self-love, because that's what you're going to do in the beginning until it becomes how you are, it becomes your perception of things, you will find that these are stages that you will move through. You will move through a detachment to an outcome with your mate. You will move through having to have things be a certain way, and you will accept them as they are, because you're accepting you as you are.
And that's a perfect place to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
Change your world. Change your life. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Inspired by today's show? Visit Deborah at DJWLifeCoach.com and click on the current offers tab to access her proven life coaching programs and tools. Everything from her signature workbooks and videos to entertaining and inspiring blogs and newsletters. You'll even have the opportunity to sign up for a 60-minute complimentary coaching session. If someone offered you a precious gift for an hour of your time, would you be interested? That's what Deborah offers in a comp session. It isn't a brief demo or sample. It's a full 45-minute coaching session focused on your current real-life challenges, plus 15 minutes to discuss any questions you may have about her approach. Those who've experienced Deborah's comp sessions will tell you that when you show up fully committed to your own growth and open to the possibilities for transformation, big breakthroughs happen. What have you got to lose other than your fears and limiting beliefs? Visit the current offers tab on DJWLifeCoach.com. Choose your energy and change your life.
Success starts here. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. It's your world.
You are listening to Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life with Deborah Jane Wells. If you have a question or comment for the program today, please call us toll-free at 888-346-9141. That's 888-346-9141. Or you may send an email to Deborah at DJWLifeCoach.com. Now, back to Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life.
Hi, Deborah here. Welcome back to our show with my guest, Tracy Crossley. In the first two segments, Tracy and I examined the transformative power of choosing love as your core fuel to open up a world of endless opportunities and foster a life of flow. And we began examining the first three of five simple indicators that you are making progress on your journey to relationship wholeness. In the final segment of today's show, we're going to finish exploring the final two indicators. Take it away, Tracy.
Okie dokie. So, number four. This is, I think, one huge indicator, and it's one that I absolutely love because it actually is a weight off of our shoulders. And what number four is, is to allow our mate to be out of control. That's right. Letting our mate be completely out of our control. We no longer are responsible for anything to do with our mate. We're allowing our mate to be responsible for himself or herself. We don't spend an inordinate amount of time setting up scenarios with a wished for outcome, and nor are we throwing down the gauntlet and saying, okay, I have to have my way. We've started to become accustomed to letting things happen, because now our partner wants to give that to us. Normally, when you allow people to be who they are, do what they want, like I talked about in number three with the self-acceptance and accepting them, then we've given them space. We've given them space to think, to breathe, to create, and they've done it all without our help. How amazing, right? Yeah. It's not like we're raising a child. It's we have an adult who we're allowing to be an adult. And the thing is, even if their actions don't change, holding on to them so tightly and trying to change them has made the distance between us or between you and that person huge. So when you let go of that and you've said, okay, I'm not going to control this anymore, you'll find that there isn't so much distance. It may not make you necessarily more intimate because you can't control where that other person's at, but it doesn't create more distance. It lets things be as they are. And when we allow it, we can actually breathe and we can focus on other things. And that's what we're actually doing. When we're letting somebody be out of our control, what we're doing is we're saying, okay, what else can I focus on here? How about focusing on my own happiness? How about looking at what I can do for me that's going to make me feel good? And the more that you focus on that, unless you focus on what someone's doing or not doing and not trying to control their every move, it's amazing what people will do. And it's even as simple as things as saying to somebody that you're dating, I'm going to go and I'm going to lay at the beach this weekend. And you're not expecting them to go, well, wait a minute, I'm going to make the plans and we're going to do what I want to do. Instead, it's making plans that you want to do. And if they want to join you, that's great. But you're not forcing them to. You're not saying, well, I want to go to the beach. Are you going to come with me? You know, if you don't come with me, there must be a problem with our relationship. Instead, you're letting that person decide what they want to do. And that's just a simple scenario. And you're feeling good about it. You're not feeling like, oh gosh, if they don't come, our relationship's over, or they're not doing what I want them to do. There's nothing like that going on. It's really, what do I feel like doing? What do I want to do? And then you're doing it. So that's really about letting somebody be out of your control. And it goes and manifests into larger situations between the two of you as well.
When what you're describing is something that I refer to as living in a state of flow, which is a life that's generous and effortless and gracious. And it's filled with faith, hope, prosperity, peace, and joy. Those are the attributes of that living in flow. And faith starts with me saying, I am confident that love is the greatest power in the universe. And hope is that I know that universal love is always unfolding the highest good for all, in all, through all. Prosperity is that I know who my source is, and my source is excellent, limitless, and reliable. No external force can actually block my highest good because universal abundance is always flowing to and through me. And peace is I relax into all that was, all that is, and all that will be. And so then I find myself in this place of joy, which is that whatever my circumstances, I know who I am and whose I am. I am a unique, co-creative expression of the divine.
I love that statement. That's a beautiful statement, by the way. And it's true. And a lot of times we think we have to do the heavy lifting. But as you start to love yourself more, you realize that there really isn't any heavy lifting to be done. So it's more of an embracing. And as you embrace yourself, you are giving space to somebody else. You are allowing everybody to be and have their relationship with universal power or whatever is their higher power. And you're allowing them to make their own decisions and to do things that they think will make them feel good, or in some cases that'll make them feel bad. But that's their journey. It's not your journey. So in showing up in a relationship, it's to say, I'm responsible for my happiness. I know you're responsible for your own happiness. It's not that I'm here to make you miserable, but if I'm being happy, you're being happy. We can be happy together. It's not about you making me happy. It's no longer about if I control you, I get my happiness. Because anytime we're trying to control anything outside of us, we are never happy. We are in a state of panic. We're in a state of scarcity. We're in a state of I might lose this. And if I don't have it come out exactly how I want it, then everything in this in my whole day is horrible. And it's funny because it reminds me of something that happened a few years ago. I was in the car with a friend of mine, and this unfortunate incident happened with another driver of the car in front of me. And it was something about he got very angry and everybody was in a traffic jam and he got out and he started yelling at people and he came over to my window and he yelled at me. And as he walked away, I really didn't respond to him. And as he walked away, my friend said, oh my gosh, I can't believe that guy. Didn't he just ruin your day? And I said, no. I said, number one, I never let an incident ruin my day. I can't allow something to just throw a whole day away. It may, in that moment, not feel great, but I don't let it affect me in that way. The other thing is, I didn't take him personally because I realized that this guy obviously had issues that were way beyond being stuck in a traffic jam.
Yeah. Yeah, no, a great example of no external force blocks my highest good. My, I choose my response and I choose my energy in every moment. And when I choose my energy, I control what happens with my life because it is all about my perception and my response.
Absolutely. And the thing is, when you realize that other people are actually out of your control, really, you can stop trying to control them. And as you get healthier or happier, I should say, with yourself, it comes naturally. You don't even have to try. You don't have to go, gosh, I shouldn't control that other person or try to control the situation. You just stop doing it because you realize that that's not what you want to do anyways. So that's number four. Number five, this is my favorite because it's why we're all here and it's been a word that we've been tossing around pretty much throughout this entire program. And that is love is more than the word. Meaning, love becomes a feeling, emotion, and action within us. When we're changing our perception, what really shows up is love. We may find ourselves in the middle of a moment where our ego has taken over and we're in that state of reaction, that state of fight or flight. And where we would normally beat our partner up with our words, we'll find ourselves dropping into that heart space. That's something that I do. I drop into my heart. I get out of my head, I drop into my heart, and I can actually feel a complete difference. And what I find is when I'm in that loving space and I'm in that heart space, I soften immediately. It doesn't mean I let somebody walk all over me and I don't. A lot of times people equate soften with weak, and that's not what I mean at all. It has nothing to do with it. I mean softening my stance. I soften and I get out of the battle. Because when love becomes a feeling, emotion, and action within us, what we are then doing is we're giving that to ourselves and we're giving that to the other person. And we respond in a way to our partner that will engender more love and conciliation instead of it being love is a battlefield, because it's not. The battlefield is always within us. And a lot of times, we don't realize it. But when you start doing this kind of work, and this is why this is such a huge indicator, but once you start doing this kind of work, you can spot the battle within you. I know when I feel like I'm in a state of resistance against what is going on in my life or circumstances that I'm encountering momentarily, I can feel that resistance inside of me. And that tells me, oops, I'm in battle with myself. And I stop. And I ask myself what it is I'm not allowing. What am I not allowing in this moment? What is it that I'm resisting in a situation or even in my thoughts? And once I realize that, I drop down again into my heart and I realize, okay, this is how I truly feel. And I feel a flow of love. I can feel it physically, emotionally, spiritually flowing. And therefore, I treat that person where I'd normally attack them or I'd normally be in a defensive position. I allow that flow to happen between us. And then my response to them comes from a loving space, meaning I've put the relationship above my ego, which is actually where healthy relationships should be, is not at an ego space. It should be the relationship is always where we want to keep feeding it and we want to continue to do things that are healthy towards it. So when you are dropped into a loving response with somebody that you love, you're showing them love by your reaction. Rather than trying to beat them to win, you're thinking, I want this relationship to work because I love this person. I'm thinking the outcome is love. So everything I do becomes a loving act to support my loving feelings, to support my loving thoughts, and therefore it becomes what I like to say is unconditional love.
Well, and sometimes what love looks like is letting go. Sometimes, you know, I so believe that relationships come into our life for a season and a reason, and sometimes that season may not be as long as we think, and the reason may not be what we hoped it was. But being able, when you get to that place where you're fully showing up for yourself, then you can relax into not needing to have the relationship look a certain way and last a certain length of time and include certain things. And, you know, one of the things that I really enjoy, and it's going to sound odd, is I love to look at what still throws me off. When I get out of balance, where do I still get out of balance? What kinds of areas? Because it points me exactly to where there are places in my own life where I haven't yet fully shown up for myself with love. Because once I'm really fully showing up for myself with love, then I'm no longer looking for other people to fill voids that, honey, they can't hope to fill. Because those voids are inside me. No external, they can't fill a void that's inside me and it's about my perceptions about myself. Only I can fix that.
Right, exactly. And it's not even about fixing it. It's about accepting it. It's about accepting the fact that no matter where you are on your journey, you're still going to have voids, whether they're big, small. Yep. But the thing is to recognize and embrace them. I always say that self-acceptance is about accepting your light, your dark, the things you can't stand about yourself, the things you wish you would change, and that emptiness that you have inside. It's to accept that it's there. Because the minute you start accepting things that are there, everything gets easier. Yeah. You stop the resistance.
And then whatever evolution may happen with it, you're right. It's not fixing it. It's if in fact the time has now come for you to heal it or grow beyond it or expand in other ways or even just learn to accept it and see it as a, in fact, as an opportunity and as a blessing in your life and not as a, quote, problem or a, you know, a negative thing. Whatever it is, your ability to do that and flow with it wherever it's meant to go next, your ability to have compassion for others when you encounter it in them is far greater.
You know, it is far greater. And the thing is, I get a lot of clients that they want to change somebody else. You know, they want to make that person do something and that person isn't doing what they want. And what they do in response is they withhold love. We start withholding love when we're not getting our way. And then we are not actually practicing self-acceptance or self-love. Withholding love never works. And that's one thing when it becomes a feeling, emotion, and action combined that you find that that doesn't work anymore to withhold love. And if your partner's withholding love, it has nothing to do with you. It has to do with them, just as you described. It's that within us nobody can change, fix, or do anything with. Only we can. And that is so important in a relationship because a relationship with yourself is numero uno. And the relationship with other people comes after that. So if your first primary relationship is working, then all of your other relationships will work too. And these indicators that I've talked about today, these are in a small way that they start to show up, but they blossom and they turn into how you are in all of your relationships.
And that is the perfect wrap-up because, believe it or not, our hour has gone by again. Tracy, thank you so much for joining me on my show today. You were wonderful.
And well, thanks, thank you.
You are most welcome. And thanks again to my incredible Voice America production team that keeps us on track and makes this show possible. When you explore my Voice America host page, you'll find more information about upcoming episodes and the nature of life coaching, with opportunities to listen to recordings of past episodes, purchase my book, subscribe to my social media feeds, and sign up for special offers to guide you on your journey to wholeness. This is Deborah Jane Wells signing off for now. Remember, when you fall in love with yourself, everything else falls into place, personally and professionally. You are loved and loving, blessed and a blessing. And so it is. Namaste.
Thanks again for listening to Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life. Please rejoin your host, Deborah Jane Wells, again next Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's time to get off that hamster wheel and start fulfilling your destiny by creating a life you love.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.